And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and to chapter 5. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, as we bow head and heart in your presence, help us, it's your day, your time, to get us from A to B, from 1 hour to the next. So God, here we are. Give us, help us. Spirit of God, our Lord, help us to honor you, our Heavenly Father. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of the book of Joshua, reminding ourselves that Israel has crossed the Jordan and they're going to go, and they have at one, this is a special time in the history of Israel so far, where they have a heart for God. One heart, one mind, they're all together. That doesn't mean everything's good, but they're disciplined, they've been prepared, fully ready to go under God's direction and conquer the 33 kings in Palestine. So they're on their way. But before they go, Joshua, as we shared together, was looking at Jericho, and God came along in his grace and reminded Joshua that in order to go forward, you're going to have to go in God's time, in God's way, with God. So therefore, we share together in chapter 5, and picking up, if I may, in verse 13 again, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand, ready to go to war. And Joshua went unto him and said, unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Who are you for? Who do you represent? Verse 14, he said, no, I don't represent you or the other guys. I represent God. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servants? So here we're looking at and picking it up in the light of the Lord's table and all of that. And you'll notice he said the word captain, rule, general, prince. He's the top. Captain, rule, prince, ruler. Here's the rule. I'm the captain. I'm the boss. I'm the general. And Joshua recognized that and said unto his, you're my Lord. He recognized Joshua sees him as his personal Lord and his slave, his servant. That's what he sees. Joshua recognizes instantly he owes God. He honors God. He's the Lord, and you serve. He's the boss. He's the top of the pile. There is nowhere else to go. Now, having said that, and then looking at the New Testament, here we are, looking back into history, and in the light of Ephesians, etc., as we have studied that, reminding ourselves that we have an awesome relationship to God, and we are seated in heavenly places in a marvelous, marvelous way. So we have a position before God, and we ought to honor him. We're to honor him. He's our God and Savior, and we're to honor him. Joshua, you recognized it right off. So, What are you recognizing? What are we recognizing? That he's captain, that he's the general, he's the ruler. So, little exercise. Over if you would please, Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah in chapter 44, if I may. And you will notice, picking up in the light of the context, going to 44, picking up verse 22. The Lord said to Israel, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return. Thy sins return unto me, for I have, as a cloud, thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens. Why? For the Lord hath done it. Shout ye, lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, and ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. And as we're reading each time, you'll keep reading, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Believers, you recognize your Creator and the only Savior. So, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, my Redeemer, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I'm the only one. I spread forth the heavens. Remember, now just that's a spread from the one finger to your thumb, 7 inches just about, seven span. I took the heavens out. And I was going to bring it, but just reminding you, the present observable universe, the observable universe that we can see with the Hubble and all the telescopes out there and off of Mars and everything looking. We now know there has to be 100 trillion galaxies that we can see. 100 trillion galaxies that we can see, let alone what we can't see. That's a lot. That'll keep you busy. Anyway, and so astronomy is a good thing to go into because you never will run out of something to think about. Now, so therefore, over to chapter 45. And you will note, Chapter 45, and picking up, if I may, in verse 22. Look unto me in the light of the context. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. Surely shall you say, shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, and to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him, and shall be ashamed. Verse 26, in the Lord shall all Israel, all the seed of Israel be justified and glorified. Notice, as you read, righteousness, God's righteousness, and the believing heart, verse 4, recognizes because he's Lord, he has made it possible for the human heart to enjoy a rightness, to line up with the required rightness of heaven. Rightness has to be right. And the Lord makes it possible. How so? Over, if you would please, to the book of Acts and chapter 2. and in Acts chapter 2. And you will remember the Sermon on the Mount on the day of Pentecost. And you will recall Acts chapter 2 and Peter's address to all the people. Go to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now, and so Joshua is standing before the before Christ took on his body, and God, the Lord was with in the captain. He was the captain of the Lord of hosts. Now, and God, what are you going to do? Christ is going to go and die on the cross. He's going to go. He's going to make it possible for him. Christ died for everybody. Anybody and everybody can get saved. That's why you're born on planet Earth, so that you can be saved. Christ saw you before you were ever created. You were born physically in time. Your physical birth to enjoy spiritual birth. That's why you're born. Everyone ever born was born to be saved. Now, keep that in mind. So, God has made, Christ died on the cross to make all of that possible. And in doing so, now remember going back to Genesis, you know, if you turn that, Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28, and image and likeness of God made he us, humans. And what was their purpose? To rule, R-U-L-E, to be the Lord, as it were, to be the boss over all creation, and dinosaurs and rhinoceroses and everything else. There they were, and God made that awesome creation for man to be the boss, to be the boss. Because of Adam's sin, lost it all went away. But God knew that. And that's why before anyone was ever created, angels included, Christ determined to die so that the picture, God is going to be glorified. After all, he's the only God and the only Savior. So there is no one else to get any credit. The only one that gets credit is God. So God goes and does what he does, and God is born in Bethlehem, Judea. He's the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, the Son of Man is going to go and enjoy, go and be the Savior. He goes to the cross to die for all of us, to save us. What are you saving us for, God? To be able to enjoy God. How can we enjoy God? There are no gods. God said on the top of the pile, I am God. There is none other. I am your creator and your savior. Therefore you need to know what? You need to understand when I save you. I save you to understand and enjoy your creator, God. I saved you to enjoy I saved you so that you could enjoy your wonderful, eternal relationship to God. To enjoy being his creation. That's how he's going to be glorified. Now, having said that, God made him Lord and Christ, and every knee shall bow. So we got to add one other piece now. You got that part. He had to die. And to lock that in, to give extra help, over to Philippians again. And in Philippians, if I may, and in chapter 2, Philippians in chapter 2. And in the light of the context, I'll start with verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God. They're not equal. Therefore, in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. The word servant is the word slave, on the bottom of the pile, and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself down, born in a babe in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, and being found, verse 8, in faith fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died for us. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and in things in earth and things under the earth, just like in Isaiah 45. Every knee shall bow to God. He created them. And you're either saved or unsaved, you're all going, everyone's has to honor God's awesome person, that he is the boss. He's the top of the pile. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Therefore, verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The whole issue, he's Lord. He's the boss. You want to recognize him. He isn't just a high anybody. He's the somebody. So therefore, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to Romans in chapter 10. And in Romans in chapter 10, picking up if I may. And in Romans chapter 10, when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, what do we understand? We don't really understand, but we do get to understand, hopefully. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what you got to have, righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What are we confessing? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what every knee is going to answer to. He's the man. God, he's the man. Adam fell. Jesus Christ is the top of the pile. Every knee shall bow. Acts 17:31 in that. All judgment is given to that man who rose again from the grave. That's him. He's the Lord. Now, where does that leave us? In the book of Romans. And we aren't doing that, but if we did turn the pages and we would follow to where we read in chapter 10, which we just read, that he's the Lord. And the believing heart has discovered he's the Savior, but he's the Lord. He's the Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Now, so therefore, chapter 14. And in chapter 14, that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful chapter. Now, What's that chapter about? It's about the Lordship of Christ. And when you're all done coming and going, everything you're going to have to answer is, in your life, is he Lord? Is he your Lord? Are you looking in submission and a healthy, holy, happy relationship to God? He's the Lord. He isn't just somebody. He is it. Now, so therefore, that's all, that's Romans 14. Now, so therefore go to one of the great things. We won't get very far, but get a little. Chapter 14, answering the question. And everything you have to do this, don't do this. Everything you ask yourself, is he Lord? Is he your Lord right now? Whether you eat or whether you drink. Whether it's a day, one day sacred to one and not to the other. Is he Lord? You always ask, is he the Lord? Are you serving and honoring him? Always is he Lord in your life. So no matter what you do, you're recognizing he is Lord. Now, so when we come to verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself, whether we live or die. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live therefore or die, we belong to God. He's the Lord. He's our Lord. That's what he is. He's our God and Savior. He's our Lord. Now, so therefore, how does that come out for us to understand he's our Lord? Verse 9. For to this end, to this purpose, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living. God sent him, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He died, went to the cross, he rose again. He rose again, and God has appointed that man, God in him, the God-man. He has appointed that man as Lord and Christ. He's going to be the boss, and to jump way ahead, when he's all done getting everything in order, heaven and earth and everything everywhere is going to, he's the man that's going to put it all together. And then 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to come before the Father in his perfect humanity. And he's going to say, God, here it is. Everything is in order. Everything is right. And God becomes, 1 Corinthians 15, God is all in all, and everything's put in order forever. God's going to fix it. Now, so therefore, to this end, Christ is both, he died to purchase us, to remove, to take us. Christ died to purchase us. He bought us with a price. And you know, without taking time, and you can do all the, you know it, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20, you're not your own. Verse 20, you are bought with a price. You're not your own. He died to purchase us. He paid the money. He paid the redemption price, which was his blood, to have us rightly, not wrongly in hell, rightly in his holy heaven. That's what he died, to make all of that real and wonderful. So he died to purchase us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God has the right. Joshua, back then and up now, Joshua had to understand? God has his right for the outworking of his will, of his way, of his word. God has the right to make it come out and do it. And Joshua yielded. What are you saying, God, to us believers in Romans? You understand that Christ died for you. He purchased you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So don't forget, you're bought with a price. The precious blood of Christ. God bought your head. God bought your heart. God bought your feet. God bought you from head to toe. Your whole body is His. Now you're living in it, but when you get saved, you're still living in with it, as you'll see in a minute. You're still living in it, but the owner of this body, He paid for it. And I recommend, I understand, when He died, I died. He took me there. He took the penalty for my sin so that I could what? That I would have the penalty paid. The penalty paid. He purchased me so that I could be free. Free. I mean free. Well, then He did what? He not only died, He rose. He purchased me. He pardoned me. Not only did He purchase me, He pardoned me and sees me. Sees my sin, penalty paid. That doesn't mean God doesn't know all about us, our old sin nature. He surely does. And we have that old sin nature, no question about it. So we aren't telling God. God isn't making us as if nothing ever. No, we live with that old sin nature. And it matters. And God is taking care of it. God went to the cross and died and set us free from that old sin nature. By how did He set us free? Christ died. And when Christ came into your heart, when you got saved, God comes along in His wonderful way. And God, you're to what? Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. Romans 6:11, and alive unto God. So we're looking to God to go. And God isn't overlooking our sin at all. He's just going to pardon us. As you read in Isaiah, as far as the sin is, as far as the east is from the west, I blotted out your sin. I don't see it. I'm done with it. I bear the crucifixion, the gospel. Christ died and He buried. He's not going to dig it up. He's finished. So therefore, why are you Lord? Because I bought you. I purchased you. I pardoned you. I pardoned you. That's why. I set you free to be able to enjoy the wonderful reason you're created in the first place. You aren't here to be a miserable human and then die. No, God wants you to have, while you're a miserable human, God wants you to have His life. God wants you to enjoy the wonderful future. How can I enjoy the wonderful future? By letting Christ be Lord of your life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is Lord of your life from start to finish. You're bought with a price. You're purchased. How many believers even get to that, to understand? That's a wonderful thing. He's the boss. Here's all the stars, all the galaxies. And here we are on little planet Earth with all us 8 billion plus humans. Here we are. And God, and you, if you believe, if you received Him as your Savior, you're able to be what? To understand that God is really God. He really is who He is. He's really Lord. He really is. He's the boss. No. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. And He's going to prove it. He's proving it, has proved it, is going to prove it. Now, so therefore, He's gone and pardoned us. So God, thank you for that. So therefore, we're freed. We're free to have a right and real relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And so the life of our Lord, for the Lord of our life, we're to able to enjoy God's wonderful loves us, and He died in order that we could love Him. He died and loves us for our sin. He sent his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he went and purchased us. He pardoned us. And in Romans 14 and 9, he revived to come again, to make life again, to live again. He did to purchase, to pardon, to possess us, to find his home in our heart. Not just to be his Lord. He wants to be able to bring you his love and his life into your heart. And thus he revived, and therefore resurrection. And what's the resurrection do? We died when Christ died on the cross. He took us and buried our sin. Now what have we got? And then he rose again to give us his life. His life. So when you receive Christ as your Savior, he gives you himself, his own life. He's Lord. He's Lord. And therefore, in the light of all of that, so God, what are we looking for? And so you to possess us in a wonderful, wonderful way, that's what you're going to do, that we might enjoy your wonderful person in an awesome, awesome way. So therefore, when we're looking to God in the light of the time, remember now, God, he's purchased us. So that what? So that we can go and have the kind of life that God wants us to have. What kind of life is that? To be able to enjoy a personal, wonderful, precious relationship to God in a most awesome, awesome way. So be able to go to have the righteousness required by God's righteousness. To require it. Christ has become, Colossians 3, 4, become our life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And his life to overcome our old nature. So what do we have, God? Well, we got our old nature, all right? And we have the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh are there. And God, what are you doing? You're helping us understand. You have gone and made it possible so that the rebellion and the revolutionary movement in our day and world is there against anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Bible. And God's going to go in his most wonderful way and all humanity bring to a conclusion, to a collision, not a conclusion, conclusion and a collision. All humanity is headed for a collision course with God. That's where they're headed, all of them. And you're gonna there's no one accepted, no one excused, there's no way to avoid it. As long as you have human breath, you will answer to God, and every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Every knee shall bow. So, God, what are you going to do? You purchased us, pardoned us, possessed us. So then what? In the light of all the fears we have, all the faults we have, all the disappointments we have, all the discouragements we have, everything, all about our old nature, our normal life. God, what have you done? You've set us free to enjoy your life so that we don't let our old nature dominate and we don't live disappointed, depressed, depleted. We don't live like that. Old nature is like that. We're errors, we make mistakes and all kinds of things. But why are we free? Because we recognize he's Lord. My Lord has set me free. My Lord finds his home in the believing heart. And the believing heart is to enjoy God's wonderful dominance, his rule. And he set you free. He purchased you and pardoned you and wants to possess you. That's right, to possess you. from top to bottom, so that you enjoy a unique, while you live and relate to your human body like this. And now you have Christ, received him as your Savior. And so you have to relate to your human body with all of its human existence. Your old nature, you have to live with that. But now you have the Lord. You've received the Lord who took care of your old nature and took care of all your problems. He's done. It doesn't mean they don't exist. They do. The difference is that he's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's the boss. So who knows how's it going to work out? What's going to happen? He's Lord. He's the boss. He's the boss. Work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. He's the boss. He's Lord. Thomas, what did you do when you woke up? You said what? Acts, John chapter 20. Stick your hand in my side. Stuff it in the... No. Thomas said, no. What did you say? My Lord and my God. That's what he said. Paul on the Damascus Road. Here he is on the Damascus Road. And he's going out to persecute, imprison, and kill Christians. And our Lord introduced himself in Acts chapter 9 and introduced himself. And Paul immediately, how did you address the person that you saw? How did Joshua address the person that he saw? He's Lord. He's Lord. He bowed his knee to the Lord. How did Thomas, my Lord, Paul, what did you do? Verse 4 and 6, Paul said, Lord, what must I do? That's what he said. He didn't say, hey, you, what do you want me to do? He didn't say that. He said, Lord. So what do we get it? They get the idea. God is Lord, the Lord, our Lord and Savior. So therefore, in whatever you face, when you face it, hear it, feel it, go through it, whatever, what are we going to do? We're going to cut time. But what are we going to do? We're going to go and look to God. He's the Lord. So I'm not going to say when I pray, when you're trusting God, he owns you. If you received him as your Savior, well, then God, you're the boss. You bought me with a price. You gave me your wonderful righteousness in Christ, not in me. And you helped me with my old nature and my fears and my faults. And I live in a very terrible world of rebellion and rejection, God, against you. But all of that being true, what are you going to do? I don't have to live with what's happening. I have to let you. I need to live with that relationship that you're Lord of Lords. You're my Lord and Savior. So when I look to you, God, when I say, help me, trust, and you say, trust, you say to trust you. Who am I trusting? I'm trusting the boss. That's what I'm doing. And there's no one anywhere, including the devil and all the angels that may be in this room, can do a thing about it when I recognize him as my Lord. And everyone has to answer to him. No matter how you cut the cookie, everyone has to answer to him. He's my Lord. And I honor him. That's what we're... What are you saying, Joshua? Why are you going to be so successful? We're going to honor him as Lord. And you're able to say, Joshua, that's right. And don't get sidetracked. All right, you got the idea. He's Lord. He's Lord. That's awesome. So when you pray, my Lord, you better understand what you just said. My Lord, you're the boss. You're the boss over my metabolism, my pain, my headache, my work, my home, my school. Whether I live another day or another hour, you're the boss. You're the boss. I may get fired at work, but you're the boss, you see. You're always the boss. And you're looking to God as the boss. And you travel down the corridor of time. And you're comfortable with things that would cause people to go cuckoo. You're able to get down the corridor comfortably because he's boss. And whatever's going on, here's Israel over there now, but he's boss on how it's going to go. I got to pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your grace. Help us understand a little bit and to appreciate Joshua, to appreciate your wonderful grace to Joshua and the people, and your awesome grace to us. Here we are on planet Earth after your crucifixion, waiting for your soon return. So God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.